Now in chapter 2, he continues this discourse of reviewing the journeys. Now, you will recall when they left there, they came to Mount Seir, and in verse 3, I think the Lord has a sense of humor, and this must be it. He says, "Ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward." See, they don't know where to go. And all they've done is just go around and around Mount Seir. It's sort of like Ring Around the Roses. They're having a nice children's game. Round and round they're going. God says, "I'm tired of that. Let's quit this round and round business." Great many Christians are doing that today, are they not? Wow, this is a great chapter. This great chapter here teaches us something that I think that's very important, friends, and that is this. These people were told, "And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession." This is a marvelous statement, by the way. Now, you will recall that God had said to Esau, and Esau became Edom, God said that when he went out from the home of Isaac and Rebekah, that God said, "I've given you this land," and God gave to Esau a certain land that's down there where the rock-hewn city of Petra is. God says, "That's your possession." God respected that, and he said to his own people, "You can't touch that or have that." There's a lesson here for nations, by the way. God has set the bounds of nations. Most wars are fought because that's not respected at all. And then there's another great lesson for us here, and that is God will always make good his promises. Even to a people like this, God made good his promises. Now, in verse 7, God goes over their ground. "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness." God says, "I knew the troubles and trials that you had. I was with you. These 40 years, the Lord thy God hath been with thee." What a wonderful thing. "Thou hast lacked nothing." And old David could look back over his life and say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Why? Because he'd never wanted. "Thou hast lacked nothing." And that is what? Not the luxuries of life, but God always provides the necessities of life. And that is true for you and for me also. Then we have here the statement made, and I'm dropping down now to verse 24. "Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle." Friends, there are a great many things that come to us as the fruits of the Spirit. But there are a great many things that you have to contend for. And here is a great principle of possession for them. And remember, he's just told them, "And the Ammonites call them Zamzumims." That's back in verse 20. And who were they? They were the giants. And I don't have time today to talk about it, but have you ever stopped to think where those giants came from? You still see that in the human family. Every now and then they'll sprout up some individual, go 7, 8 feet tall. And they had some big boys in that day, by the way. And you find out here that this is a great principle of their possession. Now, they were afraid to enter the land because there were giants in the land. Now, here they are to take up the land of the Amorites. Now, the Amorites were on the east side of Jordan, and there were giants among them also. Now they are to take their land, because God has given them that land, and they are to take it by battle, and they are to see that God is with them, and that He will enable them to overcome the giants. This is to prepare them to enter the land. You know, the Lord does that for many of us today. He permits us to have a certain experience, maybe a difficult one, maybe a sad one, that will prepare us for life or prepare us to be helpful to others, you see. God permits that to come to pass. Now I'm going to take a giant leap myself here and go over into the third chapter, because it's not my intention to go over this wilderness wandering. And you'll find more of it here than you found in Numbers, even where the log was given. But along the way, there were certain great lessons that they were to learn. And the ones that we want to point out, we will point out, and we're going to get to them when we get to chapter 4. But here in chapter 3, only one thing I'd like to call your attention to. It says here, "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man." Now here's a bed of this man. Well, you notice what it says, that it was 9 cubits. Now, if a cubit is 18 inches, this means this was about 13.5 feet long. Now, we think today that the king-size bed is something new. Well, it's not. Here is really a king-size bed, friends.